Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown, announcing our next series. This is our teaser episode. As we announced in our final episode of the previous series, Octagon Inappropriate, we're going to take a look at the TV series Creepshow that is on Shudder and ran from 2019 to 2023. I'm James Cotta, and we're calling this The Creeps in the Creepshow, putting the creeps in the Creepshow. And I am joined by Nick Boxer.
Heyo.
And Jack Hall.
Okay. Head creep.
Now, Jack, we had a lot of go back and forth before we settled on Creep Show. You want to tell the folks how we made it to this all-important decision?
Yeah, I mean, basically came down to this or the syndicated TV show Monsters was kind of the final one. And then this morning, I got a text saying, I want to bring two episodes of Jack there saying, or Jim saying, I'm Jack, so he's Jim, you see. So Jim saying, you want to bring two episodes of Creepshow? So I figured that's how we decided we were doing Creepshow. So... instead of Monsters. So, which is okay with me because we were going back and forth. I had voted for Creepshow as being one of the ones we were doing. Interesting, of course, based on the movie from Stephen King and George A. Romero, and which also became a comic book and spawned a sequel that neither one of them had anything to do with, but was still fantastic. And onto this TV series, which has been, I mean, Shudder hits more than it misses, you know? Mm-hmm. So we should expect something good, something quality. But yeah, I believe we looked at so many, we have like a list of like 12 series right now that we're trying to decide on, 12 topics. And that's just series. That's just TV series. Nevertheless, other topics that we're trying to decide on. And it turns out that Creepshow is the winner this time. And I think it's an excellent choice. I think Shudder should probably be sponsoring us after all.
Yes, we're willing. We're absolutely willing to be sponsored by Shudder.
Yeah, we're horse.
I mean, we'll watch anything they want us to watch. We will like anything they want us to like. We'll only badmouth them a little bit. I mean, we'll badmouth them less than Joe Bob. Would in his old show.
I'm just curious, are we a little too quick to label ourselves creepy whores? I mean, that seems like we warmed up to that idea really quick and didn't vote on that.
We have met you.
I like to think I'm more of a creepy sellout.
I'm not disagreeing. I just thought it was kind of...
It did come down to Monsters, which is a 1980s anthology. So a lot of really cool actors, a lot of like that same kind of crowd that did Hitchhiker, just a little earlier than Hitchhiker, I think. It might have been right around the same time. And Creepshow, which
I think a little bit later. I think it was mainly late 80s, and Hitchhiker was mid 80s.
And Creepshow is much, much newer, like 19 to 23. It's also, so I think it came down for me for accessibility, that all of Creepshow is available really easily on AMC and on Shudder. But also that, unfortunately, Monsters is the most generic name there is for any anthology ever. Like it might as well just be called Stories, for how helpful that name is. Makes it difficult to find, let alone, get people to connect the way they did with the Hitchhiker. We may still get to that. We might still get to that one. We'll see how things go. Maybe we'll do like a smattering of, I mean, as Jack said, we've got at least a dozen, probably more, anthology series piled up in that folder, someday we may have to just pick one episode of each and do like mini seasons, three episodes on each anthology, and hope that that's representative. But right now, Creepshow is the thing we're talking about. And we are going to do this the way we always choose our episodes. As Jack said, I've asked that we each bring two selections. And because there's not that many episodes in that series, we definitely want to have a backup. And by tradition, we always choose based on the Jimmerator. Patent pending.
I was crossing my fingers on that one. That you remember the Jimmerator. Love the Jimmerator.
All right.
I dream about the Jimmerator.
Yes, I'm using the highest of technology. I'm using AI to help generate a number from 1 to 3. This would take, you know, when we were kids, this would be, how long would this take? Hours?
Days.
I mean, it felt like we had more time, but I can remember a whole summer spent trying to generate a number between 1 and 5. And repeat that process? Come on. That gets a little shorter the second time. Anyway, we're going to generate.
One time is difficult enough. Twice in the same day?
I heard one time in 87 that Bill Gates generated 4 numbers in one day. And that's why he's a billionaire.
You know, could be.
Yeah, if we had focused like that. All right. And Jimmerate. Hey, it's me. Who would have thought out of 3 people?
What are the odds?
Jimmerator bias.
I'm guessing 1 in 3.
About 1 in 3.
Give or take.
All right. I have chosen Night of the Living Late Show, which appears to be a 1-story episode. Season 2, Episode 5. This has in its cast Justin Long, who I quite enjoy, and it has archive footage from several people. So I'm curious how that gets used. But there is archive footage from what looks like Hammer Films, Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, and Sylvia Tortosa. So I'm curious how that gets used. But
the exact reason why we brought backups. And the concept of this one, Night of the Living Late Show, is that this Justin Long is an inventor who invents the concept that an invention where you can interact with the screen and the settings and the actors in a movie. Nice. So you can interact with them as though they're really there. So that's how they're going to fit in the Christopher Lee and people like that from the past. He'll be interacting with them in some way. So nice. I almost picked this one because it was written by Dana Gould, who did Stan versus Evil on the Independent Film Channel, and is a wonderful stand-up comedian, tremendous stand-up comedian. And I've been watching stuff that recently that he's been in, actually. So this really, he's actually an actor in an early episode in season 1, but this one is something he wrote. So I think it's going to be great fun. That's a great choice. And in fact, I would have made it myself if you didn't beat me to it, you asshole.
It's hard being me. Directed by Greg Nicotero, who did quite a lot for The Walking Dead. He directed 37 episodes of the Walking Dead series.
He's the primary director.
Yeah.
Primary director of that. He's also the creator of this show.
Oh, is he? Oh, fantastic. He's a creator, yeah. Well, that will be an interesting interesting kickoff. Let's get in here with our next one and Jimmerate. Nick.
Yes. I picked for my first selection from season 1, episode 4, The Companion, just because it's written by Joe R. Lansdale. We know him from the Masters of Horror, I'm forgetting the title. It was a premiere episode. Something about a mountain by moonlight. But he's a favorite writer. So, yeah, I got to see this one.
Absolutely. I've read dozens of his novels. He's one of my favorites. He's written great comic books too.
One's actually written, the story it's based on is written by Joe R. Lansdale and family, Casey Lansdale and Keith Lansdale, who I don't know their relationship to, Joe R.
Keith Lansdale is his son and also an author as well. But I haven't read his work, but yeah, I know this is definitely one I was hoping one of you would pick because I wanted to see it because it's Lansdale and Lansdale's brilliant and unique. So I was hoping one of you would pick it. I'm really glad you did, Nick.
Oh, and it has a scarecrow that kills people in it. So
winner, winner. Wait, and, who's going to be the third person? Don't forget to generate. I don't want you to just go to me.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got to respect the process. Am I matching up the name? Sorry, that Roxanne Benjamin directed that segment. I think so. Really interesting credits there for her. She did some mainstream stuff like Nancy Drew and Sabrina and Riverdale. But her first directing was a film called Southbound, which is it's sort of an anthology. It's kind of one of those like whole bunch of things happening at once, overlapping. It is such a good movie. My wife and I, Lacey, watched this during Shocktober this past year. It's Lacey Underall-Cotta from the Wisconsin Underalls. Southbound, yeah, 2015. And, you know, if you get a chance, great film.
It's an awesome film. I'm a fan of that one too.
All right, The Companion and Lydia Lane's Better Half. And Jim Reed. Hey, Jack.
Anticipation.
It is Jack.
Okay. It's me this time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wasn't ready.
What are the odds?
I'm going to go with Drug Traffic. Directed by Greg Nicotero, story by Matty Doe and Christopher Larson, teleplay by Christopher Larson, starring Michael Rooker. And the second episode of that one is A Dead Girl Named Sue by John Harrison and Heather Ann Campbell. Not familiar with any of these names except for Michael Rooker. The reason I picked it, though, is that I couldn't be a bigger fan of George Romero and Night of the Living Dead. A Girl Named Sue is in black and white, takes place the same night in the same universe. And to me, that was very intriguing, so I wanted to see it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And this is season 3, episode 6, for those keeping track at home. That sounds really cool. Reed Scott, who is the lead in one of these stories, I really, really like him. He was a cast member on Veep. Has done American Horror Stories and a great series called The After Party, which I'm just in love with.
Well, there you go.
All right, sounds good. Drug Traffic and a dead girl named Sue.
We're
in the back half of the season. And Jim Reed.
Not a dead boy named Sue. That's a Johnny Cash song. That's what he sings now. He used to sing a boy named Sue, but then he moved on. Now it's a dead boy named Sue.
it's all licensing. So who owns the rights to what? All right, Nick, give us your second selection.
Shouldn't you go first?
No, we generated.
Generated.
Oh, we're generated. Okay.
Fresh generate. Yeah.
For my second selection, I am going with season two, episode one, the seventh episode in the series, entitled Public Television of the Dead. And I picked this one because it's written by Rob Schwab. Now, if you don't know that name, he is most famous for, probably to his chagrin, for creating Scud the Disposable Assassin.
Fantastic.
Love me some Scud. I'll even play the light gun game, which is not very good, but still worth playing because it's a light gun game with Scud, the video game with Scud the Disposable Assassin.
And he is a host of other television credits, but who cares? he had Scud the Disposable Assassin.
I did look at this one for the cast, because one story has Kevin Dillon and the other one has Ted Raimi. So some interesting folks in this. And looks like both stories directed by Greg Nicotero.
Which one is that?
201, Model Kid, and Public Television of the Dead.
Isn't Public Television of the Dead the one where Ted Raimi shows up with the family heirloom, the Necronomicon?
Oh, does he? I don't know.
I believe so. Right. When I was doing the research, I was like, that's so inside. It's awesome.
Yes, a public TV station is overwhelmed when the appraisal of an antique book accidentally summons a dark force. That's awesome.
That's great.
All right. And Jimmerate? Jack?
Really? Mm-hmm. What were the odds? No, I don't figure it out.
Never tell me the odds.
Your head to explode. Never tell me the odds. Well, I don't know again what. I think this is season four. I didn't look at the time. I looked at the date on the last one I picked, the A Dead Girl Named Sue and Drug Traffic, because that was done originally broadcast on my birthday, which was another reason I picked it. This one is The Parent Death Trap by PJ Pesky, written by Eric Sandoval and Michael Roussette. And To Grandmother's House We Go by Justin Dick and William Butler. I know, again, none of these people. The reason I picked is because the star of To Grandmother's House We Go is an actor that I'm very fond of, Keegan Connor Tracy. She is a lovely, talented Canadian actor and a personal favorite. And it sounds to me like she's going to chew an awful lot of scenery in this. She plays a gold digger whose plans and schemes do not go as expected. So I cannot wait to watch that. She's going to be fantastic. She always is.
And she is from the Descendants movie series. And a few episodes of Supernatural. Episode of Twilight Zone. Interesting background for her. I'm not familiar with her, so.
Not familiar with her. I first started watching her on an excellent TV series that lasted for a couple seasons on Showtime, probably in the early 2000s, called Beggars and Choosers. It was a spectacular show.
Oh, interesting.
She was in Bates Motel. She played the teacher in Bates Motel who meets her end, as everybody does at well, I don't want to spoil things too much.
But, oh, yeah. Also 9 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, so definitely that's a Vancouver, yeah. Vancouver, and this is a Vancouver resume if I ever saw one. Wow, yes. that's a lot of credit. Wow, a lot of credits. And everything that filmed in Vancouver the past 25 years, probably. 81.
She's beautiful. She's extremely beautiful, extremely talented. And I think she lights up a screen.
Fantastic. Nice win game. We can bring all that together. That is season 4, episode 3, Parent Death Trap, and To Grandmother's House We Go. 403. Okay. And...
Oh, this is it's the last one, man.
There. All right.
Pick good. I hope it's not me again. If it's me again, I don't have another pick.
Well, I thought that Nick was already picking this one, so I'm gonna go with Pipe Screams and Within the Walls of Madness, which is season 2, episode 4. The second story here, directed by Joe Lynch. This isn't the one you picked, is it? You said 201 was your first one, right? Your second one, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I'm getting deja vu, sorry. So as well as that... yes.
Numbers generated.
As well as that director, who I really enjoy, the cast of these stories includes Barbara Crampton, one of the fabulous B-movie actresses of the 80s, and Denise Crosby, and Brooke Butler, who was in the film that never made it to the Octagon, and actually became a running joke about how it never made it. Brooke Butler was in The Sand.
Well, maybe someday. Now it's not so fresh for me. I could go back and watch it.
Yeah, I think it got to the point where everyone had seen it separately from doing it on the show, because I tried to rig a season where I brought two topics that it would fit in either one, and I still didn't get it in. I did not get my I hate sand, it gets in everything season. But I telegraphed that one too much. as I said, season 2, episode 4. So we've got, we end up with a single season 1, 3 season 2, a season 3, and a season 4. So heavy into the season 2. So
how do we avoid getting any episodes by Bruce Jones? He's been every season in every anthology we've had.
That was the problem. I'm a huge Bruce Jones fan. Love what he did with the Hulk. Love what he did with Kazar. Enjoy his horror stuff that he's done. But we've done so much of him. It felt like time to not pick him and hope that one of you would. Same as Lansdale. It was too obvious a pick for me, so I was hoping one of you would pick Bruce Jones and Lansdale, but only Lansdale.
I do have an idea that I want to bring to you guys. Now there is a Creepshow holiday special that is called Shapeshifters Anonymous. And I am wondering if we want to look at that and then hold the episode for the holidays. Sure.
I like it.
Only 11 months away.
I like it. Good idea.
So we'll do that one as a bonus one, but it will be for the later VHS release of
somebody's gonna have to remind us we did it
for yeah.
to go up in the first place.
That's the kind of thing I put into a calendar into my Google calendar. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way I remember that kind of stuff, so I'll or I could just put it into the YouTube channel and schedule it for the middle of December. we'll add that one on, a Creepshow holiday special. All right, well, that is...
Oh, let's do the other special too then. Since there's only two specials, let's do the other special too and also put it up during Christmas just for the hell of it.
What's the other special?
I don't know. It's not a holiday special, but they only have two specials. It's an animated. Both specials, I believe, are all animated.
Oh, is that the season?
At the end of season 1, I believe they did it.
Season 1? Oh, yeah, they're one after the other. So, yeah, season 1, episode 7 is the animated special, which aired in October of 2020, and then the holiday special aired in December of 2020.
There you go. And which is the one which the lovely and talented Daniel Harris provides a voice?
Well, I believe that is the I believe that's the animated. They have a whole bunch of interesting folks, well, a whole bunch being no, this isn't Kiefer Sutherland and Joey King do voices in the animated. I don't know. Neither one. I think it's actually the later animated. So there's another animated episode later.
Okay.
That has right. Yeah, because I did look at
the. That must be the one where she does a voice. But Joey King's also a winner. And Kiefer Sutherland's legend.
Absolutely. The Christmas special is Anna Camp and Adam Pauly, who are both just terrific comedic actors. Big fan of them both. So those will be fun. And it's Creepshow, so maybe that'll be we'll pre-book our Halloween episode for the other one, the other special. You'll just have to wait patiently. Now, we also wanted to take a minute to talk about a short film we got sent. This was after our interview with Jim Wynorski. The folks who made the short film All You Can Eat reached out to us, and their movie is up on YouTube. You can check it out there. All You Can Eat, a Toxic Burrito Horror Film. Nick, do you want to tell us what happens in this little flick?
Sure, but what happened? It's a 13-minute film, and that title tells you a lot.
Wow. It's actually 8 minutes and 58 seconds, and then credits. So for like four and a half minutes.
We have a female star of this film. She's working for some sort of fast food kitchen experimental lab, who seems to be dealing with either extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional food sources. And some stuff happens, and a burrito attacks her. It's right up our alley. Had a great little time, but it's pretty short.
Short, but it's fun.
Yeah. Think Poltergeist, Night of the Chicken Dead. It's a short film. What can you say?
Anytime food eats the people, I'm into it. I just, you have me at food eats the people. A lot of this film works because you mentioned the female lead who plays this extremely foul-mouthed waitress.
I know.
And it works because she works. She makes it work. I mean, most of the film is just like her saying stuff. Just them building her.
It is a little heavy on the exposition.
But I mean, you only got 8 minutes and some odd seconds to work with. So you do what you can. But it works because she works. She works in there. She's cute and she's got good screen presence. This film has a lot of really good camera shots for something, and inventive camera shots and use of angles and different things. It's definitely some Raimi inspired stuff, I think, and good little special effects for
shots what they're doing. Were a little much for me, but
I thought that was freaking hilarious. The skirt shots, the shots of her panties from the perspective of the burrito chasing her. Come on. Yeah, that was freaking hilarious.
I just thought, you know, in a longer film, you'd have to earn that moment.
But in a short film, you get it for free.
Yeah.
It is also narrated by Jello Biafra, founding member of the Dead Kennedys, and legendary spoken word artist. So that adds a little extra fun to the whole thing. But yeah, such a fun little flick. We're thrilled that they sent us this. Flying Eyeball Productions let us know about this, and check it out on YouTube. All You Can Eat, a Toxic Burrito Horror Film.
It's about a year old, It's super fun. It's short. It makes no sense. The ending makes no sense whatsoever. I assume they're setting up for a sequel of some sort or something. But it's a good time. And if you want to send us your stuff, send us your stuff, even if it's free and already out there on YouTube. Let us know about your stuff. But let us know, or if it's exclusive stuff, say stuff that you're not sending to people, but that's going to be worth money someday. Send it to us.
You get that post office box thing happening. Then we can have an Amazon wish list. And
just get in, support us on Patreon, and then from there, mention you have some stuff you want to send us, and we'll give you an address.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. Into my DMs on Instagram, or just connect to us through YouTube. Lots of ways to get a hold of us. We are the Cult Film Showdown. You can find us on Instagram, Patreon, and YouTube at the Cult Film Showdown. You can support what we're doing on Patreon. You also can pop by YouTube, which is the best place to get in touch with us. We are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon, our record of the search for the ultimate B-movie. We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook, and they have an X.
Do you know how dirty the sentence slipping to my DMs actually sounds?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's like, it does just sound dirty, like just on the surface of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you think that's context. Like it just, it sounds skeezy to begin with. Put in the creeping creep show. That's what we're calling the season. And we will be back shortly with our first episode. Which was whatever the thing I said our first episode was going to be.
The Late Show, Late Living Late Show or something like that.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I write stuff down.
You're welcome. Oh, let's come up with something better. Let's come on. The creeps come out to play. Creeping the creep show.
Putting the creep in creep show.
Putting the creep in creep show. That's it. We got it.